From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo lauds PT Smelting expansion to support downstreaming. Minister Retno Marsudi affirms conflict and war caused a large surge in refugees. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian President Joko Widodo on Thursday lauded PT Smelting's move to expand its copper processing and refining factory smelters to support the downstreaming industry in Indonesia. Through the expansion of PT Smelting's factory, which was jointly built by PT Freeport Indonesia PTFI in collaboration with Mitsubishi, its copper concentrate processing capacity will increase from 1 million metric tons to 1.3 million metric tons per year. This shows the commitment of PT Freeport Indonesia and Mitsubishi to build a downstream through expansion so that added value can be found in Indonesia. This was stated by President Joko Widodo at the inauguration of PT Smelting expansion in Gresik, East Java on Thursday. The event was followed online. He hopes that with the expansion of PT Smelting's factory and another smelters being built by PT FE in Gresik with a capacity of 1.7 million metric tons of copper concentrate per year, Indonesia will be able to produce a total of 3 million metric tons of copper concentrate. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi affirmed that current conflicts in the world have caused a large surge in refugees. Therefore, wars and conflicts must be resolved immediately. This was conveyed by Minister Retno Marsudi when attending the Global Refugee Forum GRF in Geneva, Switzerland. Reported by Indonesian Ministry of Affairs on Thursday, Minister Retno Marsudi reminded the representative of more than 140 countries present that all parties should stop the war and respect applicable international law.
Dalam GRF, saya menyampaikan bahwa dunia saat
in the Global Refugee Forum GRF, I said that the world is not doing well at the moment. The world is facing a very large surge in refugees. One of the causes is the wars and conflicts occurring in various parts of the world. Therefore, we must resolve the root of the problem. I remind you that we all have the same obligation to stop war and conflict and respect international law, especially international humanitarian law.
Terutama hukum humaniter internasional.
The forum that took place from December 13 to 15, 2023 discussed the follow-up to the world's commitment since 2019 in dealing with refugees. This, according to Minister Retno, is relevant to conditions in the Gaza Strip, Palestine and Indonesia, which is facing the rise of Rohingya refugees from Myanmar. Minister Retno Marsudi also reminded that there were indications that refugees had become victims of criminal acts of human trafficking. She added that Indonesia would fight this with the cooperation of the international community. Minister Retno Marsudi also emphasized that countries that had signed the Refugees Convention should immediately provide resettlement places for refugees because, according to her, the process of providing places for refugees has recently been very slow. Speaker of the Indonesian House of Representatives DPR Puan Maharani urged the government to re-intensify the COVID-19 vaccination program, both for primary and boosters vaccinations. She noted in a written statement on Thursday, she also appealed to the government to boost the dissemination of information and education, as well as vaccination services for the community to anticipate a surge in COVID-19 cases in the country. The Epidemiological Surveillance and Immunization Sections of the Jakarta Health Office reported that two COVID-19 patients had died after being infected with the virus. The two individuals, aged 81 and 91 years, had comorbidities and had not received the fourth vaccine dose. Let's move on to the international news, where the Pakistan police said three officers were killed on Friday near the northwestern Afghan border during a gun battle that also killed three militants. In an uptick in violence raising security concerns ahead of national elections early next year, the attack came within 2 days of another such militant attack in the region, which killed 23 Pakistani soldiers in Dera Ismail Khan district near the country's lawless tribal district bordering Afghanistan. A little-known militant group that identified itself as Ansar-ul-Islam claimed responsibility, saying it was their first attack, according to a statement sent to Reuters reporter. However, the police didn't verify the authenticity of the claim. China on Friday pressured Taiwan with a trade barrier probe and warplanes in the Taiwan Strait a month before the island holds key election, as Taipei called on Beijing to stop its political operation. The January 13 presidential and parliamentary elections are taking place as China, which views the island as its own territory, has sought to force Taiwan to accept Chinese sovereignty claims. Taiwan's government and the ruling Democratic Progressive Party, or DPP, have repeatedly said China is trying to interfere in the vote, whether by military means or co-opting Taiwanese politicians to ensure an outcome favorable to Beijing. China's Taiwan's Affairs Office, in a separate statement, said evidence from the probe is clear and that is conclusion objective and fair. Oil prices rose 3% on Thursday, extending the various sessions gains boosted by a weaker dollar and as the International Energy Agency IEA lifted its oil demand forecast for next year. Brent futures settled $2.35 higher, or 3.2%, at $76.61 a barrel. The market has turned around after dropping to hit its lowest in nearly 6 months during Wednesday's session. World oil consumption will rise by 1.1 million barrels per day in 2024. The IEA said in a monthly report, up 130,000 barrels per day from its previous forecast, citing an improvement in the outlook for the U.S. and lower oil prices. The 2024 estimate is less than half the forecast of the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC. Prices also got a boost as the dollar weakened after the U.S. Federal Reserve on Wednesday signaled lower borrowing costs for 2024. The Philippines' current account deficit is expected to narrow to $9.5 billion, or 2.0% of gross domestic products GDP in 2024, from the projected deficit of $11.2 billion this year, the central bank said on Friday. The Banco Central NG Filipinas, or BSP, previous forecast for 2024 current account balance was at $10.3 billion deficit, equivalent to 2.1% of GDP. The current account is projected to remain in deficit for 2023, but with prospects of narrowing in 2024, the BSP said in a statement, owing to a rebound in trade activity. Steady inflows of overseas Filipino remittance, seen growing at 3.0% in 2024, will likewise help narrow current account gap, it added. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on UN General Assembly passes resolution demanding Israel-Hamas ceasefire. The United Nations General Assembly on Tuesday, December the 12th, finally passed a non-binding resolution demanding a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war in Gaza. Of the 193 member countries, 153 supported the resolution. This figure exceeds the number of countries that routinely support resolution condemning Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Meanwhile, 10 countries, including the United States and Israel, oppose it, while 23 countries abstain. According to Palestinian ambassador to the United Nations, Riyad Mansour, the vote marked a historic day in light of the strong message sent from the General Assembly. The vote came after the UN Security Council, which is responsible for global peace and security, repeatedly failed to pass a resolution. On Friday last week, the United States, which is Israel's strongest ally and one of the 5 permanent members of the UN Security Council, used its veto to stop the latest draft resolution calling for a ceasefire. The Security Council also took more than a month since the Hamas-Israel war broke out to speak, even then with a weak voice, after 4 of its member countries reject the humanitarian pause resolution. Indonesia, together with the neighboring countries such as Malaysia, Brunei Darussalam, and Singapore, as well as Middle Eastern countries, including Saudi Arabia, Iran, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, and also European countries such as France, Russia, Spain, and Switzerland, support the resolution. Meanwhile, the 10 countries that rejected included Austria, Guatemala, Israel, Papua New Guinea, and the United States. Saudi Arabia's ambassador to the United Nations, Abdul Aziz Al-Wasil, in his speech after the vote, expressed his appreciation to all parties who supported the draft resolution that had just been adopted by the majority of members. According to him, the voting results reflect the international position calling for the resolution to be enforced. Earlier, ahead of Tuesday's vote, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Linda Thomas-Greenfield said she agreed the humanitarian situation in Gaza was very bad. According to her, it was the diplomacy carried out by the United States on the ground that made possible the week-long humanitarian pause, referring to the only break in fighting so far last month. Thomas-Greenfield then urged member states to support an amendment to the resolution that would have condemned Hamas, but it was rejected. Even though the United Nations Security Council has passed a resolution, Israel continues to carry out military action in the Gaza Strip. Israeli troops have in recent days invaded Jenin in the West Bank. They killed a number of Palestinian youths, destroyed houses and public facilities, and detained hundreds of residents. A non-binding resolution from the UN Security Council demanding a ceasefire doesn't seem to be able to stop Israel's brutal action. For this reason, stronger measures are needed that can withstand, at least reduce, the intensity of Israel's attack on the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. If not, the death toll will continue to increase. That was commentary.
Listener, that was the news. I'm Niko Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Let's start today in history with the event of December 15, 1914, with a coal mine explosion in Japan killed hundreds of people. On December 15, 1914, a massive explosion occurred at a coal mine in Hojo, now in Fukuoka Prefecture, Japan. The explosion that occurred in western Japan on Kyushu Island killed 687 people, and it was estimated that 20% of them were women. The incident started with a mix of coal and dust and methane gas in the air, which caused a sort of spark. The explosion that occurred caused the mine shaft cage used to carry miners in and out of the mine to fly out of the shaft. Extinguishing the fire and prevent it from spreading underground, the mine entrance was closed, but this left many people trapped inside the mine. The incident was the worst mining incident in Japanese history. Moving on to an event on December 15, Kartika Struggle Day in Indonesia. In Indonesia, December 15 is commemorated as Kartika Struggle Day. The day is celebrated by the Indonesian Army to commemorate Indonesia's victory in the Battle of Ambarawa or Palagan Ambarawa. This battle, which was part of the Indonesian War of Independence, took place from 20 November to 15 December 1945. Ambarawa is a small town in central Java, was strategic area and therefore was a contested area. At the same time, there was a battle between the People's Security Army, troops supported by the people, and the Allied troops. The Battle of Ambarawa began with an incident in Magelang after the landing of Allied troops on October 20, 1945. They entered Indonesia to handle Dutch prisoners of war who were being held in Ambarawa and Magelang prisons. However, the arrival of the Allied troops was infiltrated by the Dutch, who then wormed the former prisoners and fought the TKR troops. The battle ended on December 15, 1945, when Allied troops were successfully pushed back from Ambarawa by the TKR troops. We end today in history with the event on December 15, 1966, when Walt Disney died. Walt Disney was an American animator, director, and entrepreneur, where he is known for being one of the pioneers of animation industry in the country. Walt is known for creating the character Mickey Mouse in the cartoon series of the same name in 1929, who later became one of the world's most recognized animated characters. He also made some famous animated films in the 1940s and 1950s, such as Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and Cinderella. Walt Disney died on December 15, 1966, at the age of 65 due to lung cancer. And that's today in history.
Kau yang mengerti. melihat aku bagai nirmala. Tak pernah ada yang bisa, tak pernah ada yang bisa kau hiraukan sisi gelap hidupku. Tak pernah ada yang bisa, hanya kamu yang bisa meredamku.
Listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
In today's My Indonesia, Minister Sandiaga Uno encourages youth to use digital economic potential. Indonesia Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, encouraged the youth of Indonesia to use the digital economic potential to the possibly greatest degree. He remarked that the digital economy has become a new hope and strength for the national economy. In 2023, Indonesia's digital economy value reached $82 billion US dollars, or 8% year on year. Quoted by Antara, Minister Sandiaga during the launch of Digital Indonesia Vision 2045 in Jakarta Wednesday said that by 2025, Indonesia's digital economic value is predicted to reach $109 billion US dollars or to grow 151% year on year. He added that the biggest contribution to the country's digital economy comes from the transaction on e-commerces. He also pointed out that the world's market prediction and the very big digital economy of Indonesia is an opportunity that the young generation must take. Minister Sandiaga further remarked that to use Indonesia's digital economic potential optimally, Gen Z needs to develop strong leadership characteristics, namely adaptability, creativity, collaboration, communication, and digital literacy. Minister Uno further said that the Communication and Informatics Ministry launched the Digital Indonesia Vision 2045 to support achieving the Golden Indonesia Vision 2045, which is becoming the world's fifth strongest economy. Digital Indonesia Vision 2045 is a concept of long-term planning in the digital sector to orchestrate stakeholders' interests with a sectoral and regional perspective. The vision was arranged to be a common guideline for all stakeholders, namely the government, people, and private sector about national vision and strategy in the digital sector. Minister Sandiaga hopes the Digital Indonesia Vision 2045 can bring a benefit to the people in building their capacity into a top and competitive manpower with integrity. And that's My Indonesia.
Berubah, tak berubah, tak berubah kini. seperti dulu dengan cinta yang baru yang berbeda dari waktu ke waktu. Memang ku punya salah, ku salah, yeah. Tapi kini ku ingin tunjukkan masa laluku mendewasakan.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
In today's Indonesian Wonder, processed noodle, a typical culinary from Yogyakarta. Listeners, besides rice, Indonesian people also often consume noodles as a daily meal. It's not surprising that there are many noodles preparation which are easy to find in some regions of Indonesia. Today, we would like to introduce you to traditional noodle preparation is lethek noodle, originating from Serandakan, Bantul, Yogyakarta. This noodle is made from ground cassava flour or dried cassava, and its preparation is still very traditional. It is called lethek because of the dull color of the noodles. It does not use dyes or preservatives. In terms of taste, lethek noodles have a texture similar to vermicelli and are usually served fried or in soup. When processed, lethek noodles will be added with chicken broth, eggs, shredded chicken, chopped cabbage, and fresh tomatoes. Listener, the next original Indonesian noodle dish comes from Palembang, South Sumatra, namely celor noodle. This typical Palembang noodle is a processed noodle soup with a very strong seafood flavor. This is because celor noodle soup is made from a combination of shrimp stock, coconut milk eggs, and wheat flour, making the texture thick and the taste more delicious. For toppings, celor noodle are usually added with a piece of boiled eggs, shrimp, and fried onions. Listener, this original Indonesian noodle dish is from the different shape from other noodles. The reason is that the noodle, mi titi from Makassar, is prepared by dry frying the yellow noodles so that the shape resembles a bird nest. When served, this Makassar typical mi titi is drizzled with thick and savory broth. Please don't forget to add a complete toppings in the form of chicken pieces, green vegetables, and fried meatballs.
The crispy texture of the dry fried noodle, combined with the thick sauce and tender meat texture, is guaranteed to make anyone who tastes it will be addicted to it. And that's Indonesian Wonder.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. V VOI listener, today's miscellany informs you about Indonesian students of psychology faculty at UMS Surakarta Central Java who create a mental health care app to help in managing emotion in students. The team's leader, Naura Nazifah, in Solo, Central Java on Tuesday said, the development of the app called Narajiwa started from the non-suicidal self-injury behavior on students. She also said the app has lots of features like a mood tracker that takes notes and monitors users' emotions on a daily basis. All the features help students in turning negative emotion into a more positive one. Naura Nazifah further said the users can also share their feelings through the Nara Cerita and Nara Journal features. While the night capsule function is a positive affirmation that users can hear on demand. To use all the features, one only needs to open narajiwa.web.id. The app is developed by implementing positive psychology theory that helps in reducing the frequency and intensity of non-suicidal self-injury behavior on the user. She also said the app is supported by previous studies that emotion management has effect on non-suicidal self-injury behavior. Considering students prefer digitalization and practicality, the team thought regulation intervention towards non-suicidal self-injury behavior with a web-based app called Narajiwa is the right choice. Narajiwa users claim the app helped them in realizing all the activities they do and feel grateful for anything they experience. Well, that's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
That you're the one. Got me feeling so crazy. Every day you want my mind. Then it's over and we're done. But this time I won't cry. But why? Well, cause I feel just fine. I remember the first time we met. You were so good to me and like nobody else. But then you got me on lock. Then the party ends. I'm always like, where the hell did this fella win? Man, it's okay though. Boys always come and go. They're just like seasons. And I'm Cleopatra, but he ain't my Caesar. So when he left, is what I gotta say though. Hey.
Won't shed no tears. Yes, I got this. Won't shed no tears. I'll find my own bliss.
Oh, I love them know. You're beautiful.
spread the love and let them know. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, yeah.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia, only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Today's edition of Music Corner comes with a original song from Yogyakarta entitled Sue Ora Jamu, written by R.C. Harjo Subroto. The song became more popular after its cover by legendary Japanese singer Wal Gina. Sue Ora Jamu tells the story of a couple's meeting that has been long awaited but ends in disappointment because it doesn't meet the expectations. Sue Ora Jamu teaches that the journey of human life doesn't always go as imaginations, so don't be disappointed when reality doesn't match your dreams. Alright listeners, here is Ita Novita with Sue Ora Jamu from Yogyakarta. Enjoy!
Sue ora jamu, jamu godong pelang. Sue ora
Voice of Indonesia.
Maaf, ku telah menyakitimu. Ku telah kecewakanmu. Bahkan, ku sia-siakan hidupku. Dan ku bawa kau seperti diriku. Walau hati ini terus menangis, menahan kesakitan ini. Tapi kulakukan semua demi cinta. Akhirnya juga harus ku kehilangan cinta sejatiku. Segalanya telah ku berikan, juga semua kekuranganku. Jika memang ini yang terbaik untuk diriku dan dirinya, kan ku terima semua demi cinta.
Indonesia.
kulakukan lagi bila kau tak setia. Karena aku hanya seorang manusia yang tak kau anggap. Aku telah coba untuk memahamimu, tapi kau tak peduli. Sakiti aku lagi, serpihan peri ini akan ku bawa mati. Aku
Now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Thank you.